looking at the circumstances surrounding the salvation of the Gentiles. I first had it on there just as salvation of the Gentiles, as though salvation of the Gentiles is different from the salvation of the Jews. Not so. What does everybody have to do in order to be saved? Oh, thank you. Have to believe, exactly. And that's it. The Jews had to believe. But the circumstances surrounding their belief were different from the circumstances surrounding the belief of the Gentiles. And that's what I wanted to get across. And I changed that at almost the last minute to make sure we got that understood. Last week, we looked at the Jews of Palestine and the circumstances surrounding their salvation. And we found out that after they believed, then, Acts 2:38, they had to repent of their sins and be baptized for the remission of sins. And many people jump right on that and say, oh, everybody has to do that. Well, we found out it wasn't for salvation, number one, because they believed in Acts 2:37, they believed, and then in 38, they had to do this extra. It was the extra thing that they had to do because they were Palestinian Jews, and they had to do it because John the Baptist had told them to. John the Baptist said, repent of your sins, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. He was not giving a, remember, he wasn't giving a salvation message, he was giving a preparation. So all this was because the Palestinian Jews were warned by John the Baptist to do that. And John, remember, pointed to Jesus. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29, that Jesus would give eternal life to all who believe. He would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water. He's going to come along and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to judge those who will not repent with temporal, not eternal, but temporal punishment. That's what John was talking about. Now, today, we want to look at the circumstances surrounding the salvation of the Gentiles. We're going to look at four people. Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuch, Lydia, and the Philippian jailer. Those are the four ones that we're going to be looking at. And Cornelius, the story about Cornelius is in Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read some of it, but I won't read it all. It's a long chapter. But I'll read enough that we'll hear what's going on, and I'll try to explain what happens in between. First of all, we want to look at his situation. What kind of situation was he in? Well, in verses 1 and 2 of Acts 10, we read, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, that is, the ones they came out of Rome. He was a devout man. He feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. Now think about that. He was devout. That's good. Wouldn't you like to have this guy teach Sunday school for you? He was devout. He feared God, that is the God of the Jews, Jehovah. He feared him. He gave alms generously. He gave alms generously, not just alms in the temple necessarily, but to all the people. He saw somebody sitting at the thing, he gave alms to people. Wow, that's great. And he prayed to God. Now, did he have eternal life? These four things that he talked about, devout, feared God, gave alms, prayed to God. Is that enough to save you? No. We're getting the feel of this thing. No, it's not enough to save you. What's he lacking, class? He didn't believe. Right, doesn't say he believed. But he did some good things. He had repented of his paganism and was seeking God, the God of the Jews. So, he was ready for the gospel, which he still needed to hear. Still needed to hear the gospel. Did a lot of good things, but he still needed to hear the gospel. And tell you folks, some of you people have neighbors who are going through the motions in their church. Oh, they've heard a lot of things. They're doing a lot of good things. They outclass some of us in the things they do. And yet they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never believed. Well, that's who Cornelius was. Now, his visitation. I'm going to just talk through that. It's in chapter 10. Cornelius had a vision. Now he's praying to God, and God hears prayers. See? And so he's praying to God, and God sent an angel. Sent an angel to him. Said, I'll tell you what you do. You send somebody to Joppa. That's about 2 days' journey away. And you get someone who's named Peter. He's at Simon the Tanner's house. And you ask him to come down to you. And, of course, he didn't tell Cornelius this, but he's working on Peter at the same time. There are two visions going on, one in Caesarea and one in Joppa. So Peter, then, in the same time, has a vision. And the vision was very simple. He was very hungry. It says 10:10 that Peter was up on the housetop. You know, they had places up there where it could be nice and cool and so forth. And he was out up on the housetop about noon. And he was very hungry. And he would have eaten if he had something to eat. And so while they were preparing downstairs, getting the food ready, he fell into a trance. And he had a vision. And that vision was God telling him something. And the vision was a big sheet came down, whatever that was, a big sheet came down with all kinds of animals in it. And the angel or the Lord, whoever was speaking to him, in the vision we can't tell, said to him, arise and kill and eat. And a lot of unclean animals in there. And Peter said, no, Lord. Not so, Lord. You ever hear anybody say that? You can't say not so, Lord. Can you? That's a contradiction. Not so, Lord. Not so Fred, not so Jim, but not so Lord is not good. So he said, not so. I can't do that. And God, he did three times. And three times he said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I won't do that. And God said to him, what I have cleansed, don't you call unclean. What's he saying to him? He's saying, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. I want you to learn something. If I've cleansed the Gentiles, don't you call them unclean. That's his picture. So Cornelius has a vision. At the same time, here's Peter having a vision. People come to Peter's door while he's talking about that. And he says, okay, stay here overnight, and tomorrow we'll go, because it's a two-day journey. You can't jump out 6 o'clock at night. So they're ready to go. When he comes to Cornelius' house, he has a greeting. Hello, Cornelius. How you doing? Good to see you. We're glad you're here. And Cornelius fell down and worshipped him. Now, this is not a part of what I'm going to do, but I want to say it anyway. Fell down and worshipped him. Peter said, don't you do that, because I'm just a man. No? It reminds me of Paul in Acts 16. I think it's Acts 14. They wanted to kill oxen and do sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. And what did they say? They went and tore their clothes and said, don't do that. We're just men. Well, maybe angels can be worshipped. No, in Revelation chapter 19, there was an angel. And John said, I fell down at his feet to worship him. And he said, don't do that. I'm just a servant. But you know what? There was one man in the Bible. When they fell down to worship him, he said, fine, worship. Why? Because I'm God. And that's Jesus Christ. See, men won't do that. Angels won't do that. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was allowed to have worship, they worshiped him and he allowed. So that's just a little sideline there. I love that. Now, his message. Peter comes into Cornelius and he says, I got something to tell you. So he preaches to him about Jesus' life and ministry, about his death and resurrection. You know, you have to have content in order to believe. You have to have something to believe. And then he gives an application. And the application was, whoever believes shall receive remission of sins. And he says in chapter 11, verse 14, talking about this, he says that he was supposed to go there and tell him how he was to be saved. See? So that's his message. That's why he's talking about this. So that you'll know how to be saved. And then his salvation. His salvation, he says, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they spoke with tongues. Uh-oh. It's a Baptist church. Now you're talking about speaking in tongues. They spoke in tongues. Why do you suppose they spoke in tongues? Well, Was it the same tongues at Pentecost? What was tongues at Pentecost? Languages. It was not some kind of heavenly language. It wasn't some kind of gibberish. No. It was languages. Because there were people there from, Acts 2 says, every nation on earth. And there they were, and they needed to hear the message in their own languages. And it reminded them of Isaiah, where he says, with other tongues, with other lips, I will speak to this people. Who are this people? Israel. So he said, I'll speak to this people. And they knew that God was going to send the message to them in these languages, other languages, than they had learned as a child. So they spoke in languages of those people. That's what tongues was in the book of Acts. It was known languages. Now, here they are in Caesarea, and they're speaking tongues. And the response of Peter and the Jews that were with him, he brought some Jews with him from Joppa, the response was, oh, then God has given them the Holy Spirit too. If they had been doing something different than happened at Pentecost, would they have thought that God was giving them the same Holy Spirit? No. See? Had to be the same thing. I love to get into that sometime, and I will. We've done it before, but we'll do it again, because that's important. See? They were speaking in tongues, the same tongues of Acts 2, which is languages. Somebody who spoke the language was either there, or they were other languages that were being spoken on the earth somewhere. So that's what it was. And I think I can show you that that's all the tongues that there was in the whole Bible. So these people believed, and they received eternal life. Now, notice the succession of events here. They believed, they received eternal life. I think this is in your notes. Their sins were forgiven. They received the Holy Spirit. And they were water baptized. That's the sequence there in Cornelius' house. Now, another one. Ethiopian eunuch. Philip, remember, we talked about him last week. He was in Samaria. Had a great revival there. And God called him away from that big revival to talk to one person. Crowd is not where it's at all the time. Nice to have a lot of people. But he was talking to one person. Called him away from there and sent him down to the desert, where there's an Ethiopian eunuch on his way back from worshiping in Jerusalem. Now here's a man, again, probably a proselyte to Judaism. But he was not a believer. All he knew was the Jewish things. So he was coming back on his way down to Ethiopia, where he was living, and very high in the government there. And he was reading his Bible. He was reading Isaiah 53. The whole situation about describes Jesus. Philip came along running. Someone said, biggest miracle here is that this preacher, after he ran and caught the chariot, was able to talk. He wasn't huffing and puffing like this preacher would be. Here he is. He gets up in the chariot, rides with him a ways, and said, what are you reading? Oh, I'm reading about this. And it wasn't 53rd in there, but I'm reading this section. And he said, is this man talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip began at that very spot and began to preach to him Jesus. What a message. Do you think he believed? Doesn't say so. Doesn't say, and he believed on Jesus. But it does say, while Philip was preaching, he asked, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now, I know that he was a believer. I know he believed, received eternal life, or Philip would not have baptized him. You see verse 37 there? That's not in the older manuscripts. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's not in the older manuscripts. And yet, that's probably the conversation that went on. In any case, he did believe, and then Philip baptized him with water. Now, look at the events again, the succession of events. First of all, he received eternal life when Philip preached. What do you suppose Philip preached? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. The same thing he'd been preaching up in Samaria. He had forgiveness of sins. It's not stated here that his sins were forgiven. But one thing I find out, that there's no command ever given to him to have your sins forgiven. Nothing about repenting or anything like that to have your sins forgiven. All he's saying is he has believed and Philip baptized him. So I presume that his sins are forgiven also. And nothing about the Holy Spirit, being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Again, there's no command. In fact, there's no command here that says, now go ahead and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that. And then Philip baptized him with water. So again, the four things, Gentile things, happen. Then we come to the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy were in Philippi. They had come over from Troas over to Philippi. There was no synagogue at Philippi. And we'll see about that in a minute when we talk about Lydia. But he's preaching on the street corner, wherever he can find it, he's preaching the gospel. And as he's going along, there's a little heathen girl, young woman, I guess, and she was following after them saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. Well, nothing wrong with that, except the source, see? You can't have this pagan sorcerer going around giving you free advertising, because then you're connecting with her. So Paul turned around and expelled the spirit that was in her. She was no good to her thing. So these people, her owners, who made money off her, went to the magistrates, and the magistrates caught Paul and Silas and threw them in jail. That's where we pick it up here. His situation, he was in jail. At midnight, they began to sing. I love this section. Because I'll have to tell people, they began to sing? Oh, you mean somebody handed out the hymnals? Oh, yeah, somebody said, well, let's sing. Well, let's get the hymnals out. But nobody knows any words. They began to sing. They sang because they had the song in their hearts and in their heads. They know what to do. So they began to sing. And while they were singing, an earthquake happened. A great big earthquake. And all the doors were opened. And the Philippian jailer came in, sprang in there with a light, and said, what's going on here? And Paul said, and he's going to fall on his sword, because if you lose your prisoners, you're dead. It's you for them. And he's going to fall on his sword. And Paul said, don't do that. Don't just do yourself any harm, because we're all here. And the jailer came in and looked around. They're all there. So he asked the big question. Notice the question. John R. Rice sold hundreds of thousands, probably millions, of the tract, what must I do to be saved? And what his answer was? The answer was the same one that Paul gave. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the message. He didn't say, you got to do this and this and this, get yourself ready, all kinds of promises, nothing. Believe. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You know what I like to do? I like to remember Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And Paul says, though we or even an angel should come up to you with some other gospel than the gospel which I preach, let him be accursed. And he said it again, verse 9, I repeat, same thing. Well, if that's the case, and that's gospel, that's the word, I want to follow Paul around. Let's find out what he does. Let's find out when somebody asks him, what must I do to be saved? What's he going to say? Because I want to say the same thing. I don't want to be accursed. So I follow him around. And there he is. He jumps in and says, what must I do to be saved? What's Paul going to say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the gospel. And that's the gospel that Paul says, if you don't have that gospel, you have any other gospel, a curse on you. It's not just Paul saying it, it's God saying it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here are the next succession of events again. He received eternal life by believing. He received forgiveness of sins. He received the Holy Spirit, not stated, but again, no command. Now go ahead and receive the Holy Spirit. Nothing there. And he was water baptized by Paul. Now, Again, same thing. Same four things happen to these Gentiles. One more. Lydia. Lydia is in verses 14 and 15 of Acts 16. She was a businesswoman, a seller of purple goods from Thyatira, and she was there apparently on business, and had a group with her. She had servants with her, had a household. And she had even had leased or rented a house there to do business. And she was maybe a proselyte. At least she was there when Paul went out to find the place where people were worshiping, and they didn't have a synagogue in Philippi. You had to have at least 10 Jewish men in order to have a synagogue. Well, they didn't have a synagogue, but you need running water to worship Jehovah, and so they were down where the water was. There may have been a little building there, I don't know, but they were down by the water, and they were praying. And Paul went down there to preach. People there, a lot of women, he started talking to the women, started teaching them about the Lord. I'm sure, because I know what his gospel is. He was preaching to them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So she heard that, and the Lord opened her heart. He opened her heart to respond to the message. Some people take this and say, well, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord gave her faith. The Lord gave her salvation. She was born again there. That doesn't say that. He opened her heart so she could respond to the message. So she was listening. She received the content that Paul had there, because we need content in order to believe. And then she believed. Now, it's not stated here, but she responded. And Paul, again, would not baptize somebody who was not a believer. So she believed, just like the rest of them. She received eternal life when she believed. She received forgiveness of sins. Not stated again, but no command. No command. Now, do this and so your sins will be forgiven. No, your sins are forgiven. Received the Holy Spirit. Again, but no command to be Spirit baptized. No command, come forward and be baptized by the Spirit. Nothing there. And Paul baptized her in water. Now, I know this has been same old thing all through. But I'm trying to make a point. And the point is that these Gentiles were saved one way and one way only. They were saved just like the Jews were, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved. And there's nothing else that they have to do. Nothing else to do to be forgiven of their sins, to receive the Holy Spirit. Nothing, none of that is given, as there was in Acts chapter 2. So, they believed, they received eternal life. They received forgiveness of sins. They received the Holy Spirit. And then they were water baptized. See, they weren't told, be baptized for remission of sins, like Acts 2. They weren't told, repent of your sins, or you can't be saved. They didn't say, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's no command anywhere in Scripture. Did you know that? There is no command anywhere in Scripture that says, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because everyone who believes receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body. All of us? Yes, all of us. Oh, you mean just the spiritual people? No, no. Who's he talking to in Corinthians? To the Corinthians. there are quite a few people there that weren't spiritual Christians. In fact, he told them that. You're carnal. Then he says, by one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. See? Everybody who's a believer has been baptized into the body, have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't need it again. You can't get it again. No. Never say this. Where are my glasses? Can't find my glasses. I want some glasses. What's wrong with that? I've already got them. And there are people going around. Now I can see you. People going around, they already have the Holy Spirit. I want to get the Holy Spirit. I want to get the Holy Spirit. No. One of my favorite verses, Colossians chapter 2. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And what's next? You are complete in him. You're complete in him. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have everything you're going to get. The only question is, how much of you does God have? You have all God wants you to have. But how much of you does God have? That's the key. So don't go around looking, oh, I've got to get this, I've got to get this special thing. Please, I want all this. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, and in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Don't get anything else. So, now, you want to follow the New Testament example? Yeah, don't we all want to do that? Follow the New Testament example. Which one? Are you going to follow the ones in the Jews in Jerusalem? Or are you going to follow, well, let me suggest something. I suggest that you Gentiles of the church age should follow the example of these Gentiles of the church age. That makes sense? Sure. Not the Jews. You're not Jews in Palestine. You haven't had John the Baptist preach to you. No. You are Gentiles who are of the church age. You follow their example. What's their example? Receive forgiveness of sins when you believe on Jesus Christ. You receive the Holy Spirit, same time. Then you're water baptized, a separate thing, and that's all you get. And that's enough. We're going to look farther into this. Because what happens to people say, well, that's the grace gospel, huh? Oh, yeah. We are a group of grace gospel people. Well, then you don't believe in carrying your cross. Oh, yes, we do. That's just not salvation. Well, you don't believe in keeping any rules. Oh, yes, we do. I believe in keeping the law. The law of Christ, of course. Follow the commands, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus commanded things, and he says when we go and carry the gospel, we are to teach them all things that he commanded us. See? We have a responsibility. Live for the Lord. Not a part of your salvation. You're saved. You received eternal life. How long is eternal? You have it. But after that, we're going to talk about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, believers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your logical service. And stop being transformed in this world. Stop being pushed into the mold of this world. Go on being transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Word, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what God wants us to do. Don't get it mixed up, discipleship and salvation. Salvation is one thing, it's a gift. But after that, he wants us to serve him. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to worship him. All of that, he calls us to that. And we'll see that next week.